In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's Coolest Conversations time in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. And please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. I'll be speaking presently with Adam Weiner, frontman, lead singer, and piano player, and Low Cut Connie. They were on the Underground Garage cruise this year, tearing it up, and they've got a reputation as a killer live act. Their recent single, Oh Yeah, that's from their forthcoming album, Living in the USA, that is due out Friday, July the 3rd. It's also a recent coolest song in the world. We'll listen to a taste of it, and that'll be followed by my talk with Adam on your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. With your coolest conversations in Little Steven's Underground Garage. And my guest is Adam Weiner, singer, songwriter, frontman, pianist, and Low Cut Connie. His single, Oh Yeah, that's from the upcoming album, Living in the USA, and it's this week's coolest song in the world. Adam, my friend, how are you?
It's good to see you, man. My cruise buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Good to see you again as well. Yeah, we were just on the cruise just earlier this week. Have you had a chance to recover yet?
Oh my God, it was such a stone cold groove. I mean, the lineup was incredible, one band better than the other. And you know, I did it last year with you guys, and I never, ever, ever thought I'd do a cruise. You know, I didn't think I was a cruise person, but this is like the greatest thing ever. I had so much fun year one. So when they asked me to do year two, I was like, I think I'll do it. I mean, it was really a smash.
So I was wondering about that. So you have never done any other sort of cruise, right? This is the only thing?
We did a cruise in 2018, and I hated it. I hated every second of it.
Where and was it?
There was no... It wasn't about the music, Manfred.
Oh.
And I just... It wasn't... There was no consistent aesthetic or feeling, or... It just felt like a frat party. And this Little Steven Underground Garage cruise... It's got soul. It's got rock and roll spirit. Like, it's so well put together. It's such a fantastic lineup. The people on the boat are there for the music. They love the music. They love you guys and the station. And it was just a really heavy vibe. I really enjoyed it.
And I agree 100%. I guess to add to that point, there was just... you know, there's a camaraderie and a feeling. You know, the whole thing where there are fans and there are friends, you know, seemed like a boat full of friends.
I agree. And, you know, there's so much to be depressed about in this world right now. And so to have a chance to, like, get on a floating vessel with some great people who play great music for a few days and leave the country for a few days. It was pretty nice.
Well, let's talk some about, we've got, let's say our coolest song award this week is from your upcoming album, Living in the USA, that comes out July 4th weekend, comes out on Friday, July 3rd. Like 10 tracks on there. And I've seen it described as the new protest album, and I've seen clips of you talking about like the neighborhood you grew up in and how that ties into the album. Can you share with us what the upcoming release is all about?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Manfred, I never thought that I would ever do a protest album. When I started Low Cut Connie, you know, we were just having fun. As you could tell by the name of the band, the fact that the first album is called Get Out the Lotion, and there was a song called Shit, Shower, and Shave. I mean, I wasn't trying to be a spokesman for anything. But over the decade plus that I've done this band, you know, I've had the pleasure and honor to get to travel and perform in, I think, 47 states and do 60 to 80 shows a year for the last many, many years and meet people all across this country. And we do a lot of free concerts in red state, blue state, you know, little towns, big cities. I meet everybody. And over every year that's gone by, you know, I've become more concerned about our country, how people are living. And it's seeped, that social consciousness has seeped into my songs. And this time I decided to do a full protest record. But it's also, Manfred, a party record, because let me remind everybody listening, protest music doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be dour. It can be fun and it can be dance music. Look at Sly and the Family Stone. Look at Prince, Sign of the Times, Aretha Franklin, Respect. Creedence Clearwater Revival. There's so much music that is socially conscious music that is also music you could put on at your barbecue in the summer, you know? So this record is a party record and a protest record.
And when you were, the clip I saw you on online, you live in South Philadelphia?
South Philly, that's right.
South Philly. And that's like a neighborhood that you grew up in?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, but I've lived in this neighbor, and my family, my parents, my grandparents are all go back many generations South Philly. And this is, Manfred, one of the most diverse neighborhoods in the world. It's so many languages spoken and so many different immigrant groups have come to this neighborhood for hundreds of years. And it's amazing. We have the best food. If I go in this direction, it's Korean. If I go this way, it's Egyptian. If I go this way, it's Italian. If I go this way, it's Jewish, Puerto Rican. I mean, we have everything in this neighborhood. And I want to call to attention to people the beauty of diversity. This word diversity has been branded as a dirty word. It's a beautiful word. It's what makes us American. It's the spice. It's the gumbo of American culture is diversity. That's how we got jazz, blues, rock and roll, soul music, funk, hip hop. That's what it comes from. It comes from diversity, right?
Right. Well, I love you. I love the fact you're using the word gumbo, and you also mentioned jazz and blues, because that thinks of we talk about the U.S. as a melting pot, where there's a special pot that's always brewing there in New Orleans, and that's in a result of the things you're just talking about, this diversity of peoples and cultures.
That's it. I mean, so many immigrant groups have come to this country for generations to come here to contribute, help build the country, contribute to the culture. And it's just absolutely terrifying what I see out there. I just did a show in Minneapolis 2 weeks ago. I did a meet and greet, and there were people at the show who had to bring their immigration papers and carry them with them to walk on the street to get to my show. This is happening in America right now, and so I want to call attention to that, and I didn't want to just put another record out and not speak to how people are living every day right now in our country.
Well, I wanted to ask you, 10 tracks on the upcoming album, Living in America, do any of the songs tie directly to the South Philly neighborhood at all? Are there any history, that any, you talk about the diversity there, does any of that immediacy from that neighborhood. Is that in any part of those songs or the or not?
Well, some of this music was recorded here. That's a lot of it was done here. Like Little Freakers is a song.
Yeah.
For instance, there are a number of kids that hang out in this neighborhood. And by the way, Manfred, we have this amazing history here in Philly that relates to David Bowie. David Bowie recorded his Young Americans album here in Philly. And there were all these young protest kids, rock and roll kids that would hang out around the studio in Philly. And he would say, "Hello, young Americans." And he sort of coined this phrase to name these young protest kids in Philadelphia that were thronging around him. And now, 50 years later, I wrote this song about this new generation, Gen Z protest kids coming up, a lot of them in my neighborhood, that I call Little Freakers. These are kids that are growing up in a truly broken world, and yet they are still finding the courage of self-expression and to protest and try to fight for a better life for themselves.
Right. And Little Freakers, that's a single that's been out just a few weeks, just before Oh Yeah.
That's right.
It's very, very recent.
Yeah.
Well, first, let's talk a little bit about the Cool of the Song then, Oh Yeah. And you're talking about, you know, it's got party stuff on the album. Definitely, it's got a great feeling going on there. And what is this about getting my head shaved or getting your hair shaved? What is this?
You know what? Listen, at this age and having played rock and roll for this many years, I've gotten myself into some crazy situations, and this happens to be a little story, a little freaky story about somebody that wanted to shave my head in a particular situation. You'll have to listen to the song to actually get the little narrative.
Yes, I'm saying she put you down in the chair, and I'm not quite sure what's going on there. You know?
Yeah. Well, you could listen to the lyrics and try to figure out, but
yeah, I'm trying.
But it's wild. And one thing I want to say about the song, that this song was the first song that was recorded for this album, and it was done in one take. And I, you know, rock and roll has evolved 60, 70 years the way that it's recorded. And we've gone all the way from, you know, two tracks to auto-tune and unlimited digital tracks, right? And I went back to the old school, and we used a 1-inch tape machine and did everything live. And I tracked that song, Oh Yeah, and I thought, it doesn't need anything else. I don't need to do this a second time. And I messed up the words. And somebody messed up the guitar part, and I messed up the piano, but I think it sounds great. And then I said, why don't I do the whole album like this? Let me do every song in one take, live to tape. And that's how we did it.
Well, fantastic. I can't remember, you know, I'm not as much of a keep all the Beatlesologist, but my understanding is from people that if you go back to especially those early recordings, they're going in and they're just picking which take, but there are mistakes on all the different takes, but they're looking for collectively what was the best run through, and if it has some goofball, the guitar thing or something going on, who cares? You know, the overall thing, you know, what is it? You know, the adage is the sum is greater than the whole of its parts, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, this is how I record, and it drives my band crazy, by the way. they basically are just learning the song as we're finishing recording it.
Yeah.
Usually somebody in the group says, okay, I got it now, let's do it again. And I said, no, we just did it. And I think there's something very cool with rock and roll when you can capture on tape the moment of discovery, like the actual moment when the whole group of people is clicking in on that song. The Rolling Stones are really good at that. So many artists that are able somehow to capture on tape the moment when it just finally comes together, right? And so that's what I tried to do with this whole album.
Well, let's talk about the tune a bit more. I guess got the tied more to the protest thing more directly, and also it's not as much. Certainly, it's not a party song. The title track,
yeah.
Living in the USA. When did you write that?
It's funny. Many, many years ago, I wrote a song called Living in England, and I was on a really long 9-week tour of the UK. I was traveling alone, backpack, sleeping on people's floors, and I was so homesick, broke, and I just wrote this song. This was years ago, Living in England, But It Ain't My Home. And it was really just a song about alienation, right? And homesickness.
Yeah.
And I, like so many songs, I put them on a shelf and I forget about them for 20 years. And last year, I got myself into some trouble, Manfred. I was supposed to do a show at the Kennedy Center last spring in Washington, D.C., as part of this social impact series. And I canceled my show, and it became a whole thing. And it was international news. I was interviewed by the BBC and South Korea, Japan, Germany, France. I mean, everybody wanted to talk to me about why I canceled my show at the Kennedy Center. And in the wake of that, Manfred, although a lot of people were very supportive, I started to get death threats and a lot of hate mail. And in the midst of that, seeing these ICE raids that were happening starting around that time, I redid that song, Living in England, and redid it as Living in the USA, But It Ain't My Home, which I kept a lot of the words, but when you switch it to your own home country, that feeling of alienation takes on a whole new meaning, right?
Let me ask you about the lyric you have. What is it? My kind of people ain't never going to leave us alone.
Yeah. They ain't never going to leave us alone.
Who are my kind of people? What are you speaking to there? My kind of people.
You know, it's funny. I go and when I'm on tour, I'm doing this solo tour right now. I talk about my people. And the people that come up to my shows are people that I call tough cookies. And what is a tough cookie? A tough cookie is somebody that's strong, but also compassionate, tough and compassionate at the same time. And somehow people with compassion have been vilified in this country lately, where I think that compassion is a virtue and should be celebrated as American value. My family came here, give me, you're tired, you're poor, right? They came here for a better life. And when I talk about my kind of people, I use it in the way that Nina Simone used this phrase a lot in her music, to talk about soul people, people that have compassion, that have a feeling for each other. And I feel like that is both from a political sense and from a technological sense that's affected our culture. It's tearing us apart. It's making us less compassionate for each other, and I would like to turn that around.
We talked about little freakers a moment ago. Let's see. Today, it's the 10th, and you're scheduled to play, and you mentioned your solo career, you're going to play tonight in Plymouth, Massachusetts, at the Spire Center for Performing Arts. This is part of the solo shows you got going on. I know when you started off, and you mentioned in fact, you were just talking about doing the solo thing in England a number of years ago. But you were playing in these karaoke bars, restaurants, gay bars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you miss? Do you ever try and – because what you're doing now, you're playing, you know, in bigger theaters. Do you ever try and sneak into some place, go out and play under an assumed name? Do you have any reason to want to do that again?
Yeah, I did miss it. I did miss it because, you know, not to be so Billy Joel cliche about it, but like being a piano player is a very unique thing. You sit there and you play in a bar and people tell you their entire life story. You sit there, and it's an interesting phenomenon. People put their elbows on the piano. They look you in the eye, and they tell you their deepest, darkest secrets, dreams, ambitions, everything. And for many, many years, that was my job, playing piano in gay bars, drag bars, Italian restaurants. And I loved being eyeball to eyeball with people like that and trying to, you know, entertain them in such an intimate environment. I've had good fortune to be able to graduate with this band to big venues and travel the world. But I kind of miss that intimate thing. And so I've been doing it this year, and it's been amazing, absolutely amazing, to get the chance, not just to perform for people, but to go out and talk to them. You know, I don't get to so often anymore, get to actually have like a nice conversation afterwards, meet their kids, meet their parents, have people tell me their life story. And it gives me a lot of joy.
So when you're doing these solo things now, has there been any instance where you play someplace and someone afterwards comes up to you and you think, oh my God, there's Mike, who was the sailor or whatever, or my God, you know?
Well, here's a total mind trip. I did a show in Nashville a couple weeks ago at the middle point of the tour, and there was about 50, 60 people waiting in a meet and greet line to talk to me. And this woman in the back, I'm looking at her. I'm like, I know her. My first kiss, my first girlfriend I ever had when I was 10 years old at summer camp was at my show. I haven't seen her in decades. You know,
Can you say what her name is?
Her name was Claire. And we're back in touch.
Wow.
And we haven't seen each other since we were 10 years old. How crazy, you know, to meet your first kiss again. I mean, this is the type of stuff that happens to me every single night. I meet people, somebody will say, I was a librarian at the school where you came to do that little workshop, or, you know, I worked backstage security at that festival that you did. Do you remember me? I mean, just so many people I get to reconnect with. It's amazing.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, I'm going to talk about one more live event upcoming, because the day that the album comes out, July the 3rd, Living in the USA, you're going to do a show with Little Steven, Disciples of Soul, that's the Park Stage. They're in East Freehold Park, Showgrounds, Freehold, New Jersey. It's Steven with the Disciples of Soul, the Jake Clements Band, Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers, with Gary U.S. Bonds and the Weaklings. Have you played other shows with Steven? I think you have, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Stevie's been good to me, man. In fact, one of the first things we did coming back from the COVID stuff,
yeah,
in 2021, Steven did this event for his book that came out, which is a great book, by the way. They did an event with Bruce Springsteen, John Stewart, Steve Buscemi, Nona Hendrix, a bunch of people. And they asked me to play at that event. And it was like, we were just like, some people were in masks, and it was maybe the first proper gig. And that was pretty amazing. And yeah, I'm very excited to do this on our album release day.
Yeah.
There's going to be this is the opening of this venue, this amphitheater at this park. And there's going to be thousands of people there. I hope I see some of your listeners there.
Oh, they'll be there.
It's going to be a stone cold groove.
All right. Well, we need to go out on a track from the upcoming album, right? It's Living in the USA. We said Friday, July the 3rd. The song's called Can't Be Wrong. All right. This is great, John. And you said it's going to be a single coming up in May.
This is going to be our summer single, but you're going to hear it here first. And this is going to be your song of the summer.
I mean, yeah, I agree. It's very jumpy and it's grooving. And the first question is, who's playing sax on it?
It's a good friend of mine named Marco Palos, and he's an incredible old school honking sax guy. I said, man, he said, what's the vibe? I said, King Curtis, like, let's go back. Let's go back.
So he's a bar walker. If you get this guy out in the club, he'll be on top of the bar.
Exactly. I said, give me that Junior Walker in the All-Stars shotgun thing. And he did that thing in one take. I mean, so it really, it's a summer song. And I can't wait to play it at the park on July 3rd.
So is he going to be playing it with you at the park, or do you have somebody else doing sax, or do you?
Well, I've got my girl, the girl in my band, Kelsey, who she can do everything. She sings, she plays piano, guitar, saxophone. She plays it great.
All right, all right. And when did you write this tune? Can't Be Wrong. When did it pop in your head?
Oh, I don't know. You know, this is one of those songs, Manfred. When I write songs, a lot of times I'm thinking about other people.
Yeah.
Like the song that Steven and I did together, Are You Gonna Run? I wrote that for Ronnie Spector. I was trying to get Ronnie to sing that song, and then she passed, and I said, I'll do it. I'll sing it myself. There's a lot of songs that I write with somebody else's voice in mind. And so I thought this Can't Be Wrong song would be like a big pop country hit song for some big country singer. And then I decided to do a rock and roll version of it with the band, and it turned out pretty great.
I think it turned out really killer. And I love the lyric-wise, one of the things I like about it is the singer's saying, you know, I could put you in a little song. I could put you in a little song. So have you ever done that? Have you ever, you know, been friendly with somebody like, you know what, I could put you in my song?
I mean, all my songs are about real people. I may change the names, but I've written so many songs about people I know. My songs are about people. So yeah, that's sweet. It's a fun thing as a songwriter to be able to actually say, and in the song say, I wrote this one for you.
Well, all right, Adam, man, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
All right, my brother, I will talk to you soon. Thanks for the support.
Absolutely. We're going to get right now with Lou Cutcani, because we can't be wrong in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good today. I'm feeling like I wanna stay.
Cutcani, Can't Be Wrong, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The track is from the upcoming album Living in the USA, and that is due out Friday, July the 3rd. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Adam Wiener for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Jesse Mallon, he's a longtime friend of ours here in the Underground Garage, singer, songwriter, and even a substitute DJ for the channel on occasion. He began his music career at the age of 13 when his punk band played at CBGB's. Since then, he's had numerous bands, including D-Generation, before going solo, all of which is detailed in his new memoir, Almost Grown. And he's also recently released a brand new single, Hollywood Forever, all of which we'll be talking about next time around when Jesse Mallon joins us for our Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.